Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Lord, we just bow before you tonight. We just thank you for the timelessness of your word. These things happened, as Paul said, as examples for us upon whom the ends of the age are determined or have come. So Lord, we just open our hearts, our minds. We're just so glad that we can encounter you. We can reason. You even said, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as wool. And so we can consider these things. We can weigh them. We can study your scriptures. We can look at it back and forth. We can open our hearts and open our minds and open our mouths and share. And we can advance and we can learn. And more than anything, we can come to know you. And we just thank you for this truth, for this word. We open our hearts to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Welcome to the Sullins. There's some coffee, some hot water for tea if you'd like, and all the goodies and trimmings and fixings over there if you want to start fixing yourself a plate. So I've gotten it down to a science now. I think we can feed a whole Bible study for $30 or less each week. Not too shabby. I can't. My wife and I can't go to a decent meal for that. I used to take my family even to McDonald's and go over that. So. People do not want me to feel lonely up here, I guess. So they're moving up. Okay. And then somebody's got... Oh, she's going to turn around. I said, somebody's got her back turned towards me. So Jacob went on his journey and came... Now, when we last were in this story, Esau has switched places with his brother in the sense of one-third versus two-thirds of the blessings. That's already happened with the birthright. Now the blessing, and the blessing is placed upon the younger brother, Jacob, and Esau has also married two Hittite women. They're in that area. They're around Beersheba. And by the way, what does Beersheba mean, or Beersheba mean? Depends on if you take it as a V or a B. The well of seven. The well of seven. There were seven ewes that were brought by from Gerar by the leader of the Philistines, and they had made a deal. Earlier, they had made some other deals. This is the area of the Amorites. Okay, so it doesn't hurt for us to every once in a while write this down. And then we have those six tribes that will be named later, or six peoples. And the one that's of note is that there are two Hittite women that Esau has married. And then, well, to fix it, he figures he would go take his uncle Ishmael's offspring, one of his daughters, and marry her. There, that should fix that, right? No, not so much. And so both Rebekah and Isaac are saying to Jacob, don't you dare marry. The way that Rebekah says it is, I'm going to give up living. Life is just not worth living with my son Esau married these two Hittite women, Canaanitish women. And so Jacob is sent on a journey north from Beersheba, going up into Mesopotamia, which is the land between the rivers. And so he's going to go, actually he's moving on the map, which direction? North. And he'll go north and go up past Haran, Harran, which is up in the middle of modern-day Syria, and he's going to go to the people of his mother. So Jacob went on his journey and came to the land of the people of the east. Now, it's interesting that they're called the land of the people of the east, but their land is what direction? North. Okay. And he looked, and he saw a well in the field, and behold, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it, for out of that well they watered the flocks. So what do the sheep know? They're not very smart, but they're smart enough to know that's where you hang out if you're going to get water. And a large stone was on the well's mouth. Now all the flocks would be gathered there, and they would roll the stone from the well's mouth, water the sheep, and put the stone back in its place on the well's mouth. So again, we think of a well as a little thing with a bucket. Crank it down, crank it back up. A well was something you walked down into, big round thing, or down a path and around, and you came down to an underground spring or river, and you recovered water from there. So, and Jacob said to them, my brethren, where are you from? And they said, we are from Haran. We are from Haran. Then he said to them, do you know Laban, the son of Nahor? And remember, that's Abraham's brother. Abraham's brother is Nahor. So Laban is Abraham's nephew. Okay. So do you know Laban, the son of Nahor? And they said, we know him. So he said to them, is he well? And they said, he is well. And look, his daughter Rachel is coming with the sheep. Then he said, look, it is still high day. It is not time for the cattle to be gathered together. Water the sheep and go and feed them. But they said, we cannot until all the flocks are gathered together and they have rolled the stone from the well's mouth. Then we water the sheep. Now, while he was still speaking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she was a shepherdess. And it came to pass, now, is shepherding pretty tough work? Yeah. You're out there defending the sheep against attacks. You're wrestling and messing around with the sheep. There's pretty tough. It wasn't long ago, there's two videos I've actually posted on this. One I shared and one I saw somewhere else and put it in there. And it was sometimes pastoring is like, right? And it's the video of the shepherd out in the country, and he's walking along the road with his sheep, and a car comes up. I don't know if the car honks the horn or if it's something that startles the sheep, but suddenly the sheep kind of bolt, and then the biggest buck, I guess, ram, the biggest ram, comes up and just runs over him and butts him and goes on. Now, I saw another one not long ago. There was a guy standing in the opening of a door, like in a barn, but it was built out of concrete block. The building was, not the door. And he's standing in the opening, and out here is a male sheep, a ram. And so he's standing there. All of a sudden, that ram takes two jumps, goes up on the wall, and hits the guy. And it's like, I think he intentionally did that. Bank shot. He ran, jumped off the wall, and hit that guy right in the doorway. So I have to believe that Rachel, being a shepherdess, is kind of a tough girl. Now, I grew up out in Ohio, and that was dairy country. And out there, it didn't matter if you were a girl or a boy, you had chores. And there wasn't such a thing as girl chores and boys chores. It was chores. And so if it was slopping the hogs, if it's milking the cows, if whatever it was, you had to do that. And so I went to school with a lot of farm girls, and they were pretty tough. Okay. In fact, I think most of them were what we would call a what? Tomboy. They were just pretty tough. They were in 4-H, then later in cheerleading and all that other stuff, but man, I'll tell you what, they were something else. They learned to work at a young age. And so it came to pass when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob, now notice it says when he saw Rachel, okay, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. What does that tell you? He's getting brownie points. He's interested. Okay. Then Jacob kissed Rachel, and I doubt this was on the mouth. Okay? Because the common way of greeting was on the cheeks. Okay? So. Then Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. What's that? Lifted up his voice. Yeah, I think he might have said Yahoo. I'm not sure. If he barked at the moon, what he did. But he lifted up his voice and wept. I don't know. That, Hispanic culture does that. I don't know. Or is that one of the Muppet things? It was No, what was that movie? Flight of the Navigator? Or just the eyeball? Anyway. Okay. Compliance. Just a little cultural reference for you. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's relative and that he was Rebekah's son. So she ran and told her father. Then it came to pass when Laban heard the report of Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him. Again, I say I doubt it was on the mouth. This is a greeting of family. This is a greeting of... And brought him to his house. So he told Laban all these things. And Laban said to him, "Surely you're my bone and my flesh." And he stayed with him for a month. Then Laban said to Jacob, "Because you are my relative, should you therefore serve me for nothing?" So how long has he already served Laban? A month, evidently. Okay. "Tell me, what should your wages be?" Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were delicate, but Rachel was beautiful of form and appearance. So, any insight on what that means? Her eyes were delicate? Okay. That she had really, really pretty eyes? Maybe she was shy? I don't know. So the difference is Rachel was beautiful of form and appearance. So, you know, the sisters looked differently. And Jacob noticed the difference. And he had seen Rachel before. Now when he meets Leah, it still hasn't changed him from Rachel. Yeah. Go ahead. Right, it's uncertain. So I thought maybe you guys, one of you had a revelation, or an angel appeared to you last night and told you what it was. But so there's a difference here between the two girls, and Jacob notices. I'm sorry, what? She was blue-eyed and didn't like to be out in the sun. Because Leah's not a shepherdess. Rachel is a shepherdess. Okay. But Rachel was beautiful of form and appearance. Now, Jacob loved Rachel. When did he love Rachel? The moment he saw her. Love at first sight. Now, Jacob loved Rachel, so he said, "I will serve you 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter." Okay? "I will serve you 7 years." And Laban said, "It is better that I give her to you than that I should give her to another man. Stay with me." So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. Okay? We might refer to this later. I don't know. And they seemed only a few days to him because of the love he had for her. Now I'm really curious. How many of us, if the father-in-law said, "Okay, you can work 7 years for her," and you do the math, "I'm 18 now, 25. I'll be nearly dead as an old man by then. That might become a discouragement. Oops. Dictionary.com. So, Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed only a few days to him because of the love he had for her. Then Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I might go into her." So they were engaged for 7 years under the watchful eye of Laban. That tells us that it was for 7 years he worked. Then he gets Rachel. Okay? And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. Now it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter. Now, let's just stop right here. What have we learned so far about Jacob?
Heel grabber.
Right? Jacob is tricky.
Heel grabber.
He is deceitful. Okay? What did we learn about Abraham? He tended to come up with some stories, right, to protect himself. And Sarah, we could argue for the rationale of it, but he tended to come up with some stories. Now we have Isaac. Isaac seems to be pretty quiet while Rebecca is kind of running the show. And now we meet Jacob, the offspring of Rebecca and Isaac. And he is, Esau said it, isn't he rightfully named Jacob? Isn't he the one who grabs the heel? Because he has deceived me. So, could you say hello, McCoys? The real McCoys are here tonight. Just so you know. What do you think about deceit?
The apple doesn't fall far,
very far from the tree, or the grandfather's tree. He's given the covenant, but is this deceit a problem?
Yes.
Right. Was it a problem for Abraham? Was counseling God a problem for Sarah? Right. Hello. The Middle East is exploding. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Abraham, for going along with that. And so, God takes this man where he's at, and he talks to him. Right. But we have a character issue right here. So he comes to Laban. Now it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah his daughter and brought her to Jacob, and he went into her. Had makeup on? I don't know. Now Jacob and his mother had worked together to deceive Isaac.
Yeah.
Esau believed that he deceived him. He actually made a deal with Esau. Okay? He made a deal, fair and square, I would argue, with Esau. Esau discounted the value. Well, what good is it to me if I'm dead?
Yeah.
But they go and pull the goat skins over himself. Instead of the wool over his eyes. I don't know, that's just a tormented picture there, but they trick and deceive Isaac, and he's afraid because he knows he's deceiving him. So all I can say is, who is his potential father-in-law? How is he related to him? Mother's sister, mother's brother. So what do we know about Rebecca? Rebecca was, she's the one that cooked up the deceitful scheme. And who is the one that takes most after Rebecca? Esau or Jacob? One hangs out with dad, the other one hangs out with mom, right? One loves the field, goes hunting. The other one stays amongst the tents and hangs out with mom. Who's the mama's boy?
Jacob.
Now, he goes on his journey. He comes now to Rebecca's brother's house. So Well, that apple doesn't fall very far from the tree, does it? All I can say at this point is Jacob is about to meet his match. He's going to reap what he sowed. And so the one who has this character flaw, now it's not a character flaw to desire the blessing of God, is it? It's not a character flaw to desire everything that the Father could give him. No. But it's how he goes about it. That's the problem. And so it does say, from the very first verse, it says, and he went on his journey. But remember who said that he was going to bless him, and when he returned, he was going to confirm this covenant with him. God had, right? So Jacob thinks he's on his journey. But somebody else is involved, because who has a stake in Jacob? Now, but who has the overall stake in Jacob? God does. Because he's promised Jacob through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. These guys are not being lined up this way because they're salt of the earth, wonderful, the most intelligent, the most brilliant, the most fertile, the most wise, the most sagacious. That's a repetition. They're not the ones that are the most honest. Okay? They are scoundrels. These people are scoundrels. God has not dealt with them because they're salt of the earth. God has dealt with them because he's God. And they're on the earth. And so he has reached out to them. Go on down. So, and Laban gave his maid Zilpah to his daughter Leah as a maid. Wedding present. Here you go. Right? How many of you wish when you got married you got like a house cleaner and nanny came with the deal? That wouldn't be too bad, would it? Some people do get that. Not us, but there are people who get that. Besides your wife. And the vacuum, you know, the cleaner is not that green machine that was given to you in the wedding shower. Okay, there's somebody that's paid by that daddy to come and take care of the house. So it came to pass in the morning that behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, "What is this you have done to me? Was it not for Rachel that I served you? Why then have you deceived me?" Does Jacob have any sense of what goes around comes around, or what you sow, you also reap? He needs to learn this, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And we're not talking about karma. We're talking about if you sow, you reap. Okay, we're not talking about karma. We're not talking about an Eastern mystical concept. We're talking about this idea if you sow a certain way, you reap a harvest from that. And so Laban said, "It must not be done so in our country to give the younger before the firstborn." Why didn't he say something earlier?
Right. Because he knew that he wouldn't go for it.
Jacob has worked for 7 years for Rachel, and conveniently, Laban doesn't explain to him when he says, how should have gone? Oh, I'll tell you what, my wages are I will work for your daughter Rachel. I'm sorry, but you have to marry my daughter Leah, or you have to hope to the heavens that Leah gets a husband. I guarantee you, Jacob would have founded the first matchmaking service. He would have sold somebody on marrying Leah so he could have Rachel.
Years, could
oh, yeah. He didn't need 7 years. I suspect that Jacob could have gotten somebody in the next couple weeks.
Oh, yeah.
That would have been a hot prospect for Leah. And he would have promoted that so he could get what he wanted. But isn't it interesting that he loves and his heart is open to Rachel, and Laban takes advantage of him?
Okay. Yeah, that too.
Or he didn't put two and two together, huh?
Thought he had a deal.
The deal was 7 years, your younger, he even calls her your younger daughter. And so, it must not be done so in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give you this one also for the service which you will serve with me still another 7 years. Okay? So it goes like this. 7 years, then 7 days. Okay? And Rachel is substituted out for Leah with Mizpah. Zilpah. Okay? And 7 days later, we have another wedding, and we have Rachel.
He still has to work another 7 years.
Plus 7 years. Now, I'll give you a little hint. When you see this 7 years and the switcheroo and then seven more years after he's married, it's interesting that Scripture refers to something called Jacob's trouble. Do you ever hear that in prophetic Scripture? The time of Jacob's trouble. So I'm going to put this phrase over here. That'll pop up in prophecy. So it's interesting when we think about Jacob's trouble, he meets his match with Laban. Another way to put it might be testing. Okay? Time of Jacob's testing. And he is now confronting this. And so he works 7 years, has a wedding, gets swapped out with Leah. She has a maid, Zilpah, goes for 7 days, then has another wedding, takes Rachel, she gets a maid, Bilhah, and he has to work 7 more years before he's released. Okay. Any questions on that? Other than the obvious one, how are these two girls that are sisters, you know, sister wives, rivals? Yeah.
Yeah, he married Rachel 7 days later?
Yes.
Before he served his 7 years?
And then from those 7 days, he served 7 years. That's 14 years. That's 14. Yeah, he doesn't have to wait. Some people come away saying, man, he worked another. That man worked 14 years to finally get. No. He worked 7 years to get Rachel, had to wait 7 days, and then got Rachel, and then served out 7 years. So when you get into Bible prophecy and you start talking about the time of Jacob's trouble or testing, it's pointing us back, interestingly enough, to a wedding. It's actually a wedding, a 7-day period that involves a wedding, right? And then after that, Rachel, and then 7 more years. So that's just an interesting thing. I suspect that on down the road, we may come across that again. At this rate that we're going, it's going to be somewhere in 2032. But we may get there, okay? Yeah. And so Laban gave his maid Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as a maid. So it's a different color here. Now, which wife is he crazy about?
Rachel.
Rachel. Okay, just want to make sure we're on the track there. Then Jacob also went into Rachel, and he also loved Rachel more than Leah. And he served with Laban still another 7 years. When the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, interesting, isn't it? When the Lord saw, so Jacob thinks he's on his journey, okay? But he's not alone on his journey. There is somebody behind the scenes looking for opening an opportunity to involve himself in Jacob's life. And And so it says, when the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, he opened her womb. Now, it's interesting that it says he opened her womb. What does that imply? It was closed at one point. Now, she is the older sister. Okay? As far as they're concerned, everything's functioning, everything's working. So, what's interesting is, do you see that both of the daughters of Laban are barren? Let's back up a little bit. Rebecca was barren. Let's back up a little bit. Sarai was barren. And we have this pattern. Beautiful but barren. Okay? Beautiful but barren. Exciting, ravishing, etc., etc., but barren. And so there's something going on. It's just strange. There seems to be something going on in this family. Because this is a family cluster that Abraham has married his half-sister, remember? And this his brother, Nahor, has given rise to this clan. So somehow, in that clan back there, there's a problem with barren women. There's something going on there. And God steps into this. Now, do we take that God has set them up by closing all their wombs? Or is this a genetic trait? Comments? Yeah, which is... The question is something starting to go awry with the genetics? I don't know. I just thought maybe you guys did. So I thought I'd ask.
I think it makes sense for genetics.
So something is naturally going on here, and a natural barrier needs supernatural input to change it, transform it, right? The Creator is willing to involve himself in the creation. Yes? No. Don't hear one mentioned. We don't know. Very often, women were born and weren't even mentioned. And most of the boys weren't mentioned. It was just the ones that were the oldest or were carrying on some sort of legacy. So, with Adam and Eve, if they had 300 or 400 kids, we only know the name of three, and none of the girls. We don't even know the name from Scripture of Noah's wife, nor the three wives of his sons. Each son's wife, I should have put it that way. Those three wives, because I sit there when I hear somebody say that, and I go, oh, no, they didn't each have three wives. What, there are nine of them? You know, and that just distracts me. So I'm sorry if I sent you off on that rabbit trail. So Leah conceived, but Rachel was barren. So Leah conceived and bore a son. Man, it doesn't get any better than that. Every woman wants to bring forth a son. And if you have two sisters in a marriage, somebody wants to be the first one produced in that son. Why? Because what happens with the firstborn son?
Double portion.
Double portion. So you want your boy to be the one that has the double portion. And so she gives birth to a son, and she called his name Reuben. Oh, I hate it when it does that. See? A son. Maybe it means nanner, 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 I had a son. I don't know. But I don't know if she's triumphing over her sister, but she bears him a son. Move on down, move on down, move on down, move on down. Okay, there it is. For she said, the Lord has surely looked on my affliction. Now therefore, my husband will love me. She had read some dime store novels or something and had heard from the old wives' tale or the village, I don't know. But here was her hope. Her hope was, I produced the firstborn son. It changes everything.
Every man also sounds like the Hebrew for, he has seen my misery.
Okay. He has seen. He has seen.
He has seen my misery.
Okay. Now, it's interesting about seeing. He has seen, because remember when Ishmael's mother, Hagar, went to the well, or was out in the wilderness, and they named the well Be'er Lahaloroi, for he has, God sees. The well where God sees. That's where Ishmael was taken care of. And, yes. And so there's this idea that, wait, the Creator, whoever he is, has seen my affliction and he's done something. For she said, the Lord has surely looked on my affliction. Now, therefore, my husband will love me. Then she conceived again and bore a son. And they're off. It's kind of like the horses at the races. There's Rachel back in the barn, and here's Leah out, the thoroughbred on the track. Because the Lord has heard me, heard that I am unloved, he has therefore given me this son also. And she named his name Simeon, which means heard. She keeps having kids, we're going to have a herd here. I'm sorry, I just couldn't resist that. Come on. Okay. She conceived again and bore another son. And now this time my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him three sons. And there you have that concept of three. You have that concept of the threefold cord. He's going to be bound to me because I've not just won, not just to three sons. Therefore, his name was called Levi, or Levi. Literally, attached. Attached. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, now I will praise the Lord. I mean, as if three wasn't enough, I got the bonus. What's that? Yeah. Now I will praise the Lord. Therefore, she called his name Judah. And Judah means?
Praise.
Praise. Okay. Okay. Then she stopped bearing. So, yeah, for right now. Okay. So, sometimes it helps if we can. Okay, so the firstborn, Reuben. Okay, and who's his mom?
Leah.
Okay, secondborn. Simeon. That's Leah. Who's the thirdborn? Judah. We like the J. We say the hard J in English. But most other languages say that is Y. Judah. So, and that is Leah.
Again.
Okay. First four. Okay. Then she stopped bearing. And all the ladies said, it's about time.
Right.
And I think Rachel probably said,
uh-huh,
it's about time. Yeah,
this exactly.
You're just downright showing off now. Now, when Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister. Does Rachel have some character flaws?
Yeah.
The beautiful shepherdess that Jacob has worked for 7 years says to Jacob, give me children or else I die. I heard an interesting thing just today. I was listening to a Michael Heiser podcast, and they were talking about the idea of infertility. that they didn't understand all the details of how it all worked at the microscopic level, and so that they often they believed that the man was the woman was the garden and the man was the planter of the seed. And so they kind of looked to the man saying, "Hey, Bubba, what's up here? You know, what's going on?" Or they looked at the woman and said, "Your garden is just not a good garden. The soil's bad." And so they would take turns blaming each other. So she comes to Jacob and she says, "Give me children or else I die." Rebecca went to Isaac, right? But he also sounds like Rebecca, if these two girls here, I mean, this is going to kill me. Now, how frustrating is it to Jacob that his wife is coming to him saying, "Give me children or I will die"? Does he feel a little bit helpless? Right? Does he have an answer? Does Jacob usually have an answer? He seems to. Right? He's always got a plan. So now we find that not only has Jacob met his match in late with Laban, but now he's stuck with a situation. And that is, the girl I worked 7 years for and love, and I think she is just the hottest thing since sliced homemade bread, is not able to give me any children, and she is blaming me. So things are not happy in that side of the tent or that other tent, or however the arrangement was, they're not happy. And Jacob's anger was aroused against Rachel, and he said, "Am I in the place of God who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb?" So what does Jacob do? He does the very same thing Adam and Eve do. He blame casts. This is God's fault. Now, it doesn't say anywhere in Scripture that God had closed their wombs and announced, "Okay, here's the test." No. Their wombs were barren. Natural, seems to be a natural thing. Sarah's was, and so is Rebecca's. And now, how many of you know that a barren womb is not a problem for God? Not a problem for God. And so, Jacob is basically, does he understand God very well? In fact, I was trying to make one of the points on Sunday, one of the five, was that one of the tendencies of human beings is to give glory to the wrong thing and put the blame on God. Right? And so here we see, prime example, Jacob is not a perfect man, is he? And he there's a lot he doesn't understand. And so she said, "Oh boy, does this sound familiar? Here is my maid, Bilhah. Daddy gave me a gift, she's mine." And so she now moves into the mode, she's never met Sarai or Sarah, but what's she do? She's resourceful. Because I'm telling you, in that culture, it could have been a custom. Okay? So as far as an acceptable custom, this was not a new idea. It's like, I own this girl, therefore we can use her womb. It's mine. And then they were raised in such a way that they would be a surrogate parent and give the child over to the master, the mistress. And this was part of their culture. This is the way we roll. This is how we cope with things like barrenness and these other things. I'm not saying right or wrong. I'm just saying that was life. Okay? And so, so then she gave him Bilhah, her maid, his wife. And Jacob went into her. He doesn't seem to be fighting the idea. No. She's been really steamed at him. And this looks like a good solution. So Jacob's, his radar is probably going, "Hey, that's good thinking right there. We can help this along." Now notice it doesn't say, so Jacob went and sought the God of his father or his grandfather. It doesn't say that, does it? And so he just goes with the flow. He just rolls with the punches. That's exactly what Abram did. And now, and Isaac had done some, almost did some things, and now here he is. So, something about the Rangers. I hope it's exciting. And then, That was my notification for Major League Baseball that just popped up there if you saw it. Then she gave him Bilhah, her maiden's wife, and Jacob went into her. And Bilhah conceived and bore Jacob a son. Okay? So, five, what is this next kiddo's name?
Dan.
She called his name Dan, literally judge. I've heard of Judge Dredd, but not Judge Dan. Anyway, so we have Dan, okay, fifth born. Now this is to Rachel through Bilhah. And Rachel's maid Bilhah conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. Then Rachel said, with great wrestlings I have wrestled with my sister, and indeed I have prevailed. Wait, sis is out 4-1. She's got you 4-1. So she called his name Naphtali. Or Naphtali. So we'll just put in here Bilhah, right? Here, we'll do it this way. We'll put... Okay. Go Rachel. And then we're going to put B for Bilhah. Okay? And this is again Rachel. B for Bilhah. Now we've got six. Okay? When Leah saw that she had stopped bearing, she sought the Lord to him to anoint her, open her womb, or heal her, right?
No.
When Leah saw that she had stopped bearing, she took Zilpah, her maid. Well, if you can do that, two can play at this game. And she gave her to Jacob as his wife. And Leah's maid, Zilpah, bore Jacob a son. Then Leah said, a troop comes. So she called his name Gad. Literally, troop or fortune. So, mother load. You know, I scored. Okay? So, here we go with number seven, right? Number seven? So, this is Gad. And Gad is the result of Leah with Z. Right? Okay. Then Leah said, I am happy for the daughters will call me blessed. Okay, Leah's maid Zilpah bore Jacob a second son. Then Leah said, I'm happy for the daughters will call me blessed. So she called his name Asher, happy, because I'm happy. Okay, and this is Leah, right? Through Zilpah. So now there's eight sons. Now Reuben went in the days of wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field and brought them to his mother Leah. So the eighth born, Asher, how long does it take to develop and give birth to a baby? 9 months. Okay, so how much longer till she gets pregnant again? A couple months? Okay, so if the firstborn is Reuben, and you were to give him a year between, that's not really realistic. Let's go, how many votes for a year and a half? 2 years. Huh? 1 year? Okay, so that means Reuben, when Asher is born, then Reuben is seven. Seven or eight or nine, something like that. Okay? So you want to make Reuben eight or nine? Well, nine. Nine or eight. Okay. 9, 8, 7. Okay. Everybody happy now? Okay. So, went in the days of wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field and brought them to his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, please give me some of your son's mandrakes. But she said to her, is it a small matter that you have taken away my husband? Would you take away my son's mandrakes also? Are they feuding? Wow. And Rachel said, therefore, he will lie with you tonight for your son's mandrakes. Because because Jacob tends to hang out with Rachel. Okay. So when Jacob came out of the field in the evening, Leah went out to meet him and said, "You must come in to me, for I have surely hired you with my son's mandrakes." And he laid with her that night.
Wow. Yeah.
And a love apple.
Yeah.
Okay. And an aphrodisiac of some kind. And so God listened to Leah, and she conceived and bore Jacob. God listened to Leah. So this girl who's fighting constantly with her sister and feuding and everything else, God listens to her. And she conceived and bore Jacob a fifth son, and Leah said, "Jacob, God has given me my wages because I have given my maid to my husband." So she called his name Issachar. So this is Leah, right? Herself. So Leah goes back. So now for Leah, this is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. For Leah, through handmaid, this makes all but 2. So that's 7. Leah is ahead 7-2.
Yep.
Okay. And Leah said, "God has endowed me with a good endowment. Now my husband will dwell with me." So what does that tell you? Where is Jacob living? Oh, did I miss the sixth son? Okay. Then Leah conceived again and bore Jacob a sixth son. So now we're up to 10 sons, right? And this is who? Zebulun. We're going to just call him Zeb. Okay, this is to Leah. She's now up 8-2 on her sister.
Yeah.
Right? If you combine it. 6 herself and 2 to her handmaid. "God has endowed me with a good endowment. Now my husband will dwell with me because I have borne him 6 sons." So is she hoping or what?
Hoping.
So what does this tell you about the living arrangements? They don't seem to be under the same tent, same roof. Okay? Where does Jacob live? With Rachel. Why? Because he loved her, and Leah has been thrown into the middle of this by her father, Laban, who's as sneaky as Jacob is. So now she's married. She's in a family of a father that's a deceiver, an aunt that's a deceiver, and she's married to a man that's a deceiver. Okay. And so in the middle of this, she keeps hoping. Okay, one more son. If I can just do that, then he will come live with me instead of living with my younger sister. Because after all, she's the older sister. She should be the one that gets the honor, right? She should be handled differently. But Jacob, he's jumped the line here, and Dad's done this to me. So there's just a lot of drama going on here. So afterward, she bore a daughter and called her name Dinah. Okay? So we'll just put Dinah down here without a number. Cord is doing that. And this is Leah. So now we have a girl come along, and her name is Dinah. Then God remembered Rachel. God is mindful of Rachel. Has God forgotten? Never. So when it says that he remembered her, she came up as a memorial, okay? There's something in the plan of God he's working here. And so God listened to her. How many of you know that by this time, Rachel's probably a prayer warrior?
Yeah.
Right? There's just a lot of this drama going on, all this stuff's going on. Then God remembered Rachel, and God listened to her and opened her womb, and she conceived and bore a son and said, "God has taken away my reproach." So she called his name Joseph. Remember, she has not given birth herself to any sons. She has farmed out Bilhah as her surrogate. So she has not yet conceived. And we have gone through now 11 children. So we're down the road, 12, 13, 14, 15 years after the marriage. Okay? We're on down the road. And finally, the Lord opens her womb, and she gives birth to who?
Joseph.
And this is Rachel herself. 11 for the sons. The 12th child, but Dinah doesn't count. She's a girl. Sorry. So she called his name Joseph. He will add. Okay? The Lord shall add to me another son. She names him in faith. Isn't that amazing? Do you hear Rachel? Man, if he can do this, he can add to me another son. I mean, there's a breakthrough for Rachel. And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said to Laban, send me away that I may go to my own country, to my own place and to my country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you and let me go. For you know my service which I have done for you. And Laban said to him, please stay. If I have found favor in your eyes, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake, because of you. So who's catching on to the blessing of the Lord? Laban. And Laban was only distantly, he was the brother of Abraham. But Abraham left him behind in Haran and went down into Canaan, and he hasn't seen him since. So there is a background here where Laban's going, this reminds me of something. Rick, do you have what? Just scratching? Good thing it's at an auction, because you would have just bought a $10,000 oil painting. He went, sold to the man at the back table. So we have Joseph here, born, and she names him Joseph in anticipation of another son. Okay? And now her father, Laban, says, please stay. The Lord has blessed me for your sake. Then he said, name me your wages, and I will give it. I am so blessed. I'm feeling gregarious and willing to spend some money. So name your wages. And so Jacob said to him, you know how I have served you and how your livestock has been with me. For what you had before I came was little. He knew exactly what he had when he came, right? Because he met them at the well, three flock that sat down there to get water. And it has increased to a great amount. Now listen to what Jacob says. The Lord has blessed you since my coming. Now notice he doesn't say my Lord. He simply says the Lord. This distant, far off ruler of the universe, this one who has created everything, and he sometimes shows his hand in the affairs of man. Now the Lord has blessed you since my coming, and now when shall I also provide for my own house? So it's all been about you and your flocks. When am I going to have my own flocks and separate from you with my own identity? So he said, what shall I give you? And Jacob said, you shall not give me anything. Does that sound familiar? Don't give me anything. Abraham and
King of Sodom.
Yeah. Right? He says, I'm not going to take anything from you because you will say,
I made him rich.
So we're seeing this same separation where Jacob seems to be waking up. Hey, yeah, the Lord has blessed you since I got here. Yeah, that's right. That's exactly what's happened. That's right. Let me tell you what, Laban. See, he's starting to catch on. those nights out with the flock and all that other stuff, he said, no, you're not going to give me anything. What happens when somebody gives you a gift? Now, let's operate from the idea of a gift from the most altruistic, benevolent, kind side. Okay? If somebody gives you a gift, what does that do? No, that's not the kind, benevolent side. No. We're going to talk about the positive side first. Then we're going to go to the treacherous side. So let's start on the high side of it. What happens to you when somebody gives you a gift? Or let's back up. What motivates you to want to give somebody a gift? Patty?
Love.
You enjoy them. You appreciate what they do for you. You just sometimes you want to just give somebody a gift because you love them, just cause, right? And they'll say, "What's this for?" And when they say, "What's this for?" What does that usually tell you about what they're thinking and what's in their heart? They're wondering, what did I do to deserve this or to earn this? What are you paying me for? And you're saying, "Well, no, silly, this isn't a payment, or this isn't a string. I'm doing this just because." Now, Jacob is not in a family that does anything just because. Okay? He and Esau have been in a fight. He and Rebecca have been pitted over against Isaac and Jacob. Isaac and Esau. It's probably not the first time that's happened. He has this long history of Abraham and the stories of Abraham. And so he's saying, no. You're not going to give me anything. If you do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep your flocks. Let me pass through all your flock today, removing from there all the speckled and spotted sheep and all the brown ones among the lambs, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and these shall be my wages. Okay? Now, what does that tell you about the occurrence of spotted and speckled amongst the goats?
Well, no, they're the most frequent.
Are they the most frequent?
Least frequent.
They're the least frequent. Do you think Laban is going to go for this deal,
sir,
if all he has is spotted and streaked goats? No. Jacob is saying, basically, it's almost like a fleece or a test. Look, if God has really blessed you and this linked to me, let's take the goats that are the least likely to be reproduced again. Because we're talking about the Creator, right? So, you let me have out of the flocks the brown ones and the ones that are spotted and streaked. There's no way that he's talking about those who are most likely to be reproduced in the flock. Because Laban is not going to go for it. This is the guy that has thrown him a curveball with Leah. Yes?
It's just like their faith.
The apple didn't fall very far from the tree. Now you're getting ahead now. Yeah, we got to make that connection. Yes? He's been shepherding for 14 years. Yep. He says, specked and spotted sheep, brown ones among the lambs, and spotted and speckled among the goats. So these are the, yes, Abby.
So when they take the goats and sheep, the goats and sacrifice. Favor.
Yep. And what did Abraham do with Lot?
Give him the choice land.
Go take the choice land. There's something going on here. There's something going on with Jacob. And so Jacob, he said, so my righteousness will answer for me in time to come. When the subject of my wages comes before you, everyone that is not speckled and spotted amongst the goats and brown among the lambs will be considered stolen if it is with me. Okay? So that you can look at my flocks, and if there's no white ones, okay, then you have the white ones. You have the clear ones. I have the ones that are spotted and speckled. So we're clear. It's like a brand. Okay? The Jacob brand. Okay. Huh?
If you look at a planet square and the speckled is big bean and a little bean, if he's only taking the big bean from the little bean, he takes these out and then he gets two for the two big beans and two little beans, but he gets two of the bean.
He knows they're going to be half more.
So he's getting at least half just by genetics.
Right. So, working in the field, he's figured out some genetics. Right? Anybody that's been in animal husbandry? Like who? Like Mendel. Okay. So, she's talking about the square of the genetics where you have the four possibilities. Two small letters, two uppercase letters, or a mixture back and forth. Okay. So, you didn't know we're going to study genetics here tonight, did you? But we did. Yeah. And Laban said, oh, that it were according to your word. Sounds good to me. So he removed that day the male goats that were speckled and spotted, all the female goats that were speckled and spotted, everyone that had some white in it, and all the brown ones among the lambs, and gave them into the hand of his sons. Then he put 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob. And Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks. Now Jacob took for himself rods of green poplar and of the almond and chestnut trees, peeled white strips in them, and exposed the white which was in the rods. I know, some of you are going, what? I am too. And the rods which he had peeled he set before the flocks in the gutters and the watering troughs where the flocks came to drink so that they should conceive when they came to drink. So the flocks conceived before the rods, and the flocks brought forth streaked, speckled, and spotted. So everything now is reproducing Jacob's brand. Then Jacob separated the lambs and made the flocks face toward the streaked, and all the brown in the flock of Laban. But he put his own flocks by themselves and did not put them with Laban's flock. And it came to pass, whenever the stronger livestock conceived, that Jacob placed the rods before the eyes of the livestock in the gutters that they might conceive among the rods. But when the flocks were feeble, he did not put them in. So the feebler were Laban's and the stronger Jacob's. Tricky. Tricky. Now, I don't know. Does anybody know the big secret to whittling rods and putting them in front of the flocks and how this has any influence on animal mating? But Jacob did it. He has figured something out. He has seen a cause and effect somewhere. Something's going on here. And as a result, he is totally stacking the deck. He is getting the stronger animals and the more plenteous. And Laban is getting the weaker ones and less plenteous. But he had agreed. Right? Now, I wonder going into that deal if Jacob had already discovered something about animal breeding. That he'd even figured out better than Laban had. Thus the man became exceedingly prosperous and had large flocks, female and male servants, and camels and donkeys. Well, you know, he was a Bedouin. He had to have started out in Bedouin life. That that was what you did. If you weren't in a city, you were a Bedouin. You were either a Bedouin or a builder. Remember I put that up? All civilizations are either Bedouin or builder cultures. And so Abraham had come from a builder culture because what where he had come from was his father had served as a vizier, a counselor, somehow involved in the kingdom of Nimrod in Ur of the Chaldees, in that whole area that was settled with about 10 major cities that were built by Nimrod. So they were city dwellers. And then he is called to go to a city, a country he'd never been a part of, and he becomes what? A Bedouin. And now we have Jacob, Isaac, a Bedouin. We have Jacob, a Bedouin. What's that?
Even though Isaac did have a planting time.
He did have planting. Agriculture is fine. You can feed your flocks without keeping moving them around. So you grow your own crops and sell to others. And so, but you have your tents.
Right.
You never move out of your tents into a stone-walled village. You're in tents. So, now, so you're in tents. Yeah. Dad joke. Yeah. Thank you for the cue there, Valerie. Okay. So, thus the man became exceedingly prosperous and had large flocks. Now, can you see any parallel here to the story of Abraham in Egypt? And in Gerar,
yep.
Right?
Was
he exactly honest? No, not exactly. Was he blessed?
Yes.
Wombs have been opened by the Creator, and Jacob has caught on to something in here somewhere. And that is, if you do this, this, and this, these sheep reproduce. If you do this, and this, and this, they reproduce this way. We can influence somehow the way they reproduce, and I've got his deal. I've got it from Laban, who has tricked me twice. So is Jacob exactly going into this with the purest of motives? Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to live godly. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to show that Laban. I am going to live a life modeled upon Abraham, his later life, and the revelation of God at the altars of Abraham. No. Jacob is on his journey. So Jacob is doing life the way Jacob knows how to do life. And so what does he know how, what's he good at? He's good at negotiating. He's good at deceit. Yeah. And so Laban has rooked him. And so a little payback is in order here. Now Laban has recognized that there is something unusual going on. Ever since you came, there has been a blessing on me. This reminds me of being with Abraham. This reminds me of that call. This reminds me of the name of the Lord. There is something going on between the name of the Lord and you, you being an offspring of Abraham. There's something going on, and I like it. Because you work for me, I get blessed. Good deal. And so Jacob decides, okay, let's make the deal. He makes the deal, and all of a sudden, Laban's flock is weaker, and it's not reproducing the same terms as Jacob's. And Jacob has become exceedingly prosperous and had large flocks. Wow. He's not, yes, Rick. He's going to leave Laban with the short end of the stick. Laban is going to see that. And you know what? Can't blame Laban. Laban wants Jacob to hang around because Laban likes the results of the blessing of God. So, that's it for this evening. But do you have any questions or other observations? That's a great observation. Great observation.
I once heard a preacher say that the reason he put those rods in was so that they could get
Okay. I've heard that preached. Okay. Well, remember that they brought mandrakes, the love apple. Okay. So is there some kind of chemical? Is there some kind of chemical in those particular trees? Worth studying. Next week will not just simply be about mandrakes, love apples, and almond and birch and so on and so forth. But he has correlated something, and it works. Now, we don't know if he has done this, and actually God has blessed him and blessed the flock. He's thinking it is the branches, when in fact it is the work of God. Jacob is not the sharpest tool in the shed when it comes to spiritual things. He is on his journey. And we have God almost way back in the background. Every once in a while we hear him mentioned. But he's the one that appeared to Jacob, and Jacob is gone now to Haran. And he's just now owning the idea that the Lord has blessed him. But he calls him the Lord. Doesn't personalize it.
Even though his promise on his journey said, if you will give me food on this journey, if you will get me safely there, then you will be my God.
Whoa. What's the tail end of that? And bring me home again.
That's right.
Okay?
The other part of the promise.
So Jacob hadn't seen God, keep his end yet.
Right.
Fascinating thing, isn't it? All right. So, we'll have a word of prayer, and you all have to eat the rest of this before we go, and then you'll be dismissed. So, Lord, we just love you. We just thank you. Once again, we have seen insight into Jacob and Leah and Rachel and Laban, and we've seen these imperfections and these character flaws. We have seen dirty scoundrel activity. And at the same time, we have seen you patiently, graciously, lovingly wooing people and manifesting your grace in their life. They never deserved it. They never have. But you have been abundant and full and free. And you have risked your own reputation by coming alongside a scoundrel like Jacob, by ministering to two women in a feud. The literal family feud, Lord, you have ministered to them. And this is a testimony to your great grace, your phenomenal love, and your loving kindnesses and your patience, your long-suffering nature. Lord, we want to bring that all the way forward to this moment. And we want to thank you for that. And Lord, we just ask that you'd help us to realize that you're not looking for an opportunity to condemn, alienate, or push away. You're looking for an opportunity to draw near, to bring to repentance, to transform and change our situation and our circumstances by your grace and to the praise of your great name. And we thank you for that. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.